Yes, it is with extreme sadness that 1 year of the demise of our colleague. Bishop Tolo, as you have rightly mentioned, was a dedicated person. He was a family man. He was a man of the cloth. And apart from that, there is something about Bishop Tolo that many of us may not be aware of. That the bulk of his salary did not go into his bank account. He had been busy in that impoverished part of the rural area where he came from, built homes for poor people. And he will be remembered as a selfless person and who paid now the highest penalty for being a person who really stood by those who had lesser than many of us. I agree that the crime levels in our country, well, statistically we will be told that they are coming down. But when things like these happen, they highlight again the problems within our society. That in spite of having taken whatever robbers want, whether it's a hijacking, whether it's a business robbery, whatever form of crime which can be linked to some other form of financial interest, there is always violence which ends up in death. In our rural areas, many of the things don't come out because the press is not active in those areas. But many of our people are going through daily living through this kind of crime. Women are not safe. Children are not safe. There is something very gravely wrong in our society. And I think, Chairperson, that this is perhaps a wake-up call for all of us, that we need to address the wrongs in our society and find ways and means of correcting them before we escalate into a society which lives by the sword. And unfortunately, that is not the sort of legacy any one of us here would like to bequeath to the next generation. We salute Bishop Tolo. I don't know who will carry on the legacy that he has then left behind, but I want to re-emphasize that there is a side of him that many of us were not aware of. He was really a philanthropist. Thank you very much, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you, honorable members. I think one fully agrees with the words that have been mentioned by the colleagues. But all in all, one would have summed up by saying, as the chairperson has led us through this report of passing away of Mr. Tolo, I think. He was doing it on behalf of the whole committee. That's my view, Chairperson. But one really is very saddened by what he has heard. Because I wasn't even aware. Only heard it this morning by the Honorable Abraham that it was Mr. Tolo who was murdered. That's my view. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, I think you've said enough. That is what I'm running, but we can only send our condolences to the family, and then we'll hear further from you. You will inform us of what is happening. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for those words. Welcome from my father. Indeed, Bishop Tolo, you know, a gentleman, you know, par excellent he was. painful as it is, but they can really make us, you know, laugh. Thanks for that. I'm sure the messages will be conveyed in a letter form, and I also would imagine that there's going to be, you know, something that is done by Parliament as well, that book there. Agenda in front of us that has got two items, the adoption of all opening minutes and reports, and also consideration and adoption of committee reports. We've also received a few ideas from members about the program itself. So the circulation has been done, I think, program. The challenge that we have is that, you know, these programs, they are done in such a manner that, you know, it gets to be a term lead program, which doesn't take us through to end of December or next year. As a result, you know, there is a serious competition of a number of issues that we might also wish to agree upon for us to tackle. And then of course, a discussion by ourselves here will assist us in really getting to say, you know, between now and September, end of September almost, you know, the heavens will not fall. The following are not addressed. So, which therefore would mean that those might have to be taken to another term, and having to deal with those that really we feel quite strong about here, that we look into and address as a committee. But we'll come back to that. It was meant to be third item on the agenda, but the committee secretary did not include it. She still wanted us, you know, me and the management to go through it first. So, but I thought that this is quite urgent for us to get a sense of what is going to happen going forward, so that we do almost everything here and now. Okay, we do have minutes. Those have been circulated a long time. I must also, once again, because of this competing items on our agenda, this item on the minutes, we did resolve in our last session, sometime last year, that you know, two meetings must not go ahead without us having to adopt the minutes, so that we avoid any situation. We've had an experience wherein the minutes couldn't be traced because there was no recording and there was a change of committee secretaries. I think there were two or three changes almost, you know, within a very short period of time. As a result, we couldn't be able to track, you know, the availability and the authenticity of some of those minutes, and largely having to rely on our own institutional memories as to whether or not whatever shall have been recorded is in fact or not. Those are the challenges that bring a long time because here we have in Menat dating back January. So I don't know if members would wish to comment on that fact.
Chairperson, I don't know whether it would be out of place to formally move that minutes of meetings be made available at the next subsequent meeting of the committee. But Chairperson, here you have a whole bundle of minutes. You've got to go through all this. I set up to 1 o'clock. Morning after collecting them in my pigeonhole yesterday. It's difficult, Jay. You cannot remember whether certain things that are recorded that did actually take place or not. And I would like to move, Chair, that the subsequent meeting, the minutes must be available. It will be better also for the officials, it will be good for everybody, so that we have a cycle where things are not left in abeyance for a long period of time. Thank you, Chair. I move.
There's a mover. Chair, yes, I would like to just remind you that I think we have spoken about the decision in the past, as you mentioned. I think we have asked that in line with what Honourable Arlos has suggested, that we, at the next meeting, but at least at the most 2 weeks after the meeting, that we approve the minutes at the second meeting. If we can have it available on at the next meeting, obviously for us to go through it, because this is impossible. I could not go through it because I only collected it mine this morning because I only flew in last night. So what I also I would like to agree with this with the movement of Honourable Obers that we do get into the practice of approving the minutes of the previous meeting as soon as possible, at least at the following meeting or at the most. At the second meeting regarding from it.
As I was saying, members, this is something that we discussed, especially at the time we were really, really struggling with the last bundle of minutes. We are now once again confronted with a similar situation. A mover has been seconded. Have no option but to practically do it. However, we have these that we need to dispense of. How do we propose dealing with it? Ms.
Chair, I think the usual procedure would be that we go meeting by meeting, one set at a time, and that you perhaps request that we, for example, page 1, whether we've got any problems with it, page 2, and then we adopt it at the end of the particular set of minutes. I think that would be the best way out, JJ. I want to admit that many of these minutes we haven't even had a proper look, but the show must carry on.
Okay, can we follow that suggestion, members, and then see how far we can go? What I would propose you do as well, as we move closer to the time, if we are not able to conclude, we take the report of the committee, and also importantly as well, we confirm the program as well out of this meeting. We might therefore not be able to conclude on the minutes themselves, but the program is equally important that we get it through to the chairperson's office upstairs. Office for approval and all of those details. Without really wasting time, members, can we then go through, we have here the 18th of January minutes. Maybe firstly, we just go through page by page just to see if there is, though there are any, you know, type of issues before we really get on to the content.
Just for clarity, I think I've got 2 minutes here, and I think the dates are changed because the Tuesday one is the 18th of January, not the 19th of January, and Wednesday was on the 19th of January, not the 18th. If you look on top there, the dates. So are there 2 of these minutes? They are separate because we have 2 meetings running after each other. So the Tuesday one is the 18th. Not the 19th, and the Wednesday one is the 19th and not the 18th. If you can just move, change that around. And while I'm on it, I see that I had a policy for the Tuesday, which I was also pressed on that day. I don't know why that has come through, because on the second day I was marked present. I just had a look in my diary. I threw in on the Monday night already.
You say you're present on both meetings?
Definitely, yeah. I am present on the Wednesday meeting, the 19th, but I was in Cape Town already on the Tuesday as well, and I marked it in my diary that I was present.
I have to find it Wednesday.
No, it's if you follow what I said, it's two documents here, yeah.
I think, Chairperson, what we need to determine here is to make sure, I have flagged this, that we have here a set of minutes which says that a meeting took place on Wednesday, the 18th of January. And then we have another set of minutes which says that a meeting took place on Tuesday, the 19th of January. We need to sort those 2 dates out as Mr. Bosman requests. And the moment we've done that, which one comes first, we then go page by page. And you can then ask us whether we've got any changes or anything that needs to be made.
Chair, if I can help, I think if we can, if I can recall, it looks to me that only the number, the date, the Tuesday of the 18th, should have been the one that has an agenda for the consideration of committee reports and annual reports, and then the Wednesday one on the 19th, the date of the 19th seems to be correct, but the days in front of it must be changed around.
I just looked at the diary in the calendar. Tuesday was the 18th, and then Wednesday was the 19th. So I think that one has been done away with. I would also imagine that it follows that whatever shall not have been looked into on the 18th, which is outstanding minutes, for whatever reason, which I don't know, I can only assume that they were not ready. As a result, those were taken for the 19th. Once again, you know, memory institutionalization here comes in. Okay, let's go through. I think that we have sorted out that one, Mr. Abram. Thank you. We are on the 18th, which is a Tuesday, not Wednesday. Page 1. Any spelling, grammar, we find page 2.
at the top. It was further said that during the holidays, the extension of the security of tenure was published. Actually, security of tenure amendment bill was published. Otherwise, it doesn't give the correct message. That's what it is supposed to be. And then, Chair, in the second paragraph, line 2, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform that drives development. I think it was supposed to be agricultural development. But the question was whether a DAF drives it or whether DRDLR drives it.
I think for now we're just going through any mistakes. That's all of it.
That I feel is an omission, Chair, that's got to come in. That drives agricultural development. In the second line.
That one is noted. Any further issues?
Page 4,
last page.
Nothing from my side, Chair.
Can we then go through the content, if any, on page 1? On 18, are we fine with the minutes themselves?
Can we with amendments, Chair.
Can we get a mover?
What move that we adopted with amendments as suggested by the Honourable Office?
I'll check and teach.
Okay. Mr. Geller?
I apologize on this meeting. I don't appear. My apology does not appear.
We found on that one. That will also constitute amendment. Okay, can we then go to the 19th of January?
Apart from changing the Wednesday to the Tuesday to a Wednesday, I don't see anything else wrong on this page.
Any other comments? Mr. Geller?
Yes, yes. Well, my apology does not appear. Thank you.
There on top of 2, co-opted for adoption. Is that the same? Is that the same? Oh, four names instead of
four members.
So there are four members. Any further issues on that same page? We're done. Any more? Can you switch off?
I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Second, Chair.
Sikera moved and then Abrams seconded with amendments. 24th of January. We seem to have been moving quite fast at the beginning of the year. What is that? Where is? I don't have it. 23 here. That is a report. We talk about minutes. CFO is Satrayo.
Oh.
And then Munsemi is the advisor. Any further issues on the 24th? There are those amendments there. There is Munsemi as advisor. It's Jumat Patterson, one name. There's a surname to the minister. Page two, sorry.
Thank you.
Chair, again, it's just a question of sorting out whether it's Ms. Remsemi or Munsemi. Because under briefing, item 2, second paragraph, it starts off with Ms. Remsemi. Just need to sort that out.
Are we fine with that? So it is Ms. Munsemi. So that correction is made. Page 3.
Nothing from my side.
Anybody's side? Anything from any other body's side? Page 4. Any other person side? Page 5. And there is a list of a number of issues that are outstanding out of this minute. Another one, page 2 and page 3. As I was saying, members, there are those outstanding issues. So I would imagine here there would also be outstanding issues on these outstanding issues. Page 3. It's a very important set of minutes, this one of the 25th, because for us, as we do our oversight work, we certainly engage the department on outstanding issues of the previous term. As to whether, you know, there was any follow-up on this, you know, it is a matter that we'll have to look into when we go through. So I would recommend that we keep this page quite close to ourselves, so that when we attend the other outstanding issues, we are able to follow up also on this with the other ones that are still coming, so that we are able to be Page 5. What I'm referring to, members, is that if you go through the, page 5, the issues of stock theft and also the plant breeders' rights policy, are matters that have been expected to be followed up, and of course also on the Thailand and China. Now, these are matters together with the Agri-B Charter Council. Now, these are issues that we will have to follow up on. So they fall within your outstanding issues, if you like. But for now, all what we're doing, we are literally just looking at the minutes, whether it is a true reflection of, you know, deliberations. We're not in a situation where, like, you typically are going to start a meeting. There are matters arising. We're not there yet, but we have those outstanding issues that have been terminated, which we'll have to get a copy of and then may follow up to one. That's sort of our oversight work. You wanted to comment on something, Secretary?
Yes, just the second paragraph dealing with the pool the quota rights. I'm just trying to figure out now.
Which paragraph? Okay.
Yeah, the department should pool the quota rights of individuals into a collective and system of capital infrastructure and investments to prevent them from selling these rights without other community. I remember that we discussed that, and there's no clear indication that this committee has aligned with any of what's standing here. Because if somebody would read this, they might get the impression that the committee is wholeheartedly 100% in favor of how it stands here, that it should be pulled together and dished up. This is a, if this comes into the press, it's, I'm not going to leak it, you know. But if this, if somebody reads it in the press, somebody picks it up from the records, it will be a disaster. It will be a, you know, it will be egg all over all our faces, especially yours, because you're the chairman.
Unfortunately, I was not present at this particular meeting, so I don't know whether this sort of thing was put forward by the department. I think what we need to look at here is whether this is what the department had said. Now, in fact, Jefferson, I made a note here that if there is a follow-up at some stage or the other, I made a note here. I say communal projects equals recipe for failure. I made a note here. But what it said here is that the department must take all the quota rights of individuals, pull them together, P-O-O-L, into a collective, which means a sort of a communal type of thing. Now, whether the department said that or not is an issue which those that were present must testify. Because what we are doing here, Chairperson, is merely to verify whether this was what was discussed at the meeting. This is what they told us. Now, unfortunately, as I say, I wasn't there, so I'm not aware.
The issue, my recollection, talks to what government is seeking to pursue in its small-scale fishing policy. It talks about those cooperatives. Now, as far as I remember, this is what they seek to do, because initially these would have been, you know, 3 per person. You remember those abalones in that area called Hamburg, to a point where the point was raised that says, why don't you, instead of having, you know, 3 per person, have them pulled together into a cooperative so that there is more critical mass. So that is what informed that point, as far as I remember.
Yeah, I think just for clarity, because Honorable Abrams has asked about it, if you read the whole paragraph, it explains it. It says that the department has investigated what benefits came from individual rights. And then they go into the say, into the, in terms of the small-scale policy currently being developed, they are going to look at the collective and pulling them together. But it's not to say that we've supported it. I don't think anything in this document says that we've supported it, or we have...
It's a presentation.
Or something else, yeah. That is what they...
That emanates out of that small-scale policy.
I think Mr. Bosman is right, but the department also said that they have a problem with the individual quotas, because they sell them to the big companies, so they want to pull them together. That is what they said to us. Because of the problem of them selling the quotas to big companies, they are going to encourage them to form cooperatives and pull them together.
No, brother? Just on the language quickly. Pull, P-O-O, pull, P-U-L-L. You're not here. Sorry?
P-O-O-L, as Dr. Bosman has explained.
As in a pool.
As in a pool, but in this context, meaning that bringing together.
Bringing
pulling together, pulling our resources, for example.
P-U or P-O-O?
P-O-O-L.
Refers to pulling all of this together. Any further issues on page
that. But it says here that in terms of small-scale fishing policy, quite correctly, is it not still a draft policy? That's a difference. Because that makes a big difference here, because if the policy currently being developed, it must be draft policy. So maybe just put in that draft. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Trey. Any further issues on page 5? If there are any. Page 6. That wildlife ranching there needs to be a follow-up made with regards to those norms and standards by the Environment Department. And also on AgriBE chat. Migration from Section 9 to Section 12. 12 to 9, sorry. We haven't had any written on that one. Any page 8? We never got to hear finally as to what happened to the previous director. Did we? That's the point I'm trying to make. You see, these issues, they can literally be shuffled in that sense without you getting a sense of what the issues were. Agree on redetermination of your contract and simply just opting to exit without getting a sense of, what the issues are. On page 8, part of the follow-up that we must also look into are those agricultural colleges. It is also the issues we followed up on this one page that has just been distributed.
on the Saturday morning program, the TV program.
You know, the daily, weekly program.
The weekly program, in the morning early.
Yeah.
Well, that is actually, there were two programs that I merged, I think, because there was one half hour was for emerging farmers and the other one was just ordinary information on commercial farming and markets. I think it has also been reduced to only twice a week, if I'm not mistaken. It's not every day anymore. But then they added a television program on Saturday mornings for the emerging sector, Back to the Land or something it's called. It's quite an interesting program for people to watch. While I'm speaking to you, I think we must just, on page 9, let me see, 1, 2, 3, the fourth bullet. The members wanted to know what the department intends doing about the selling of rights problem. It's not clear which rights are they referring to here. Is that the fishing rights or which rights is it? Members wanted to know if it's not possible to draft a proposal prohibiting the selling of
question on patient?
It's a bullet for bullet. It means it must be number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 from the answer. The answer starts at page 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Must be on page 10 from the top. Must be bullet 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, so both is a bit, you see, there, both of them could link to it. But it's unclear which it should be. That's why I say the question that was posed in the sentence that we scratched is not clear, because if you look at the bullets in sequence, then the answer would be on page 10, bullet 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the top. The department felt that an agroecological map made available to communities to enable them to know what they should plant where. If we look at the one above that one, it's not clear. And then look at the next one, legislative framework, members felt that the legislative framework should be put in place to enable people to farm. The department also felt that the dialogue we opened on ranching. So you see that the questions on the one side, they linked in 1, 2, 3 questions, running, but it's unclear for me which fits which.
Sorry. The questions and the answers are not linked. They're not linked. So basically, yes, this answer has said the size of the arable land That is a question on that side. So the answering, relatively answering that question there, was the concern about the size of the arable land. That was a proper question on that side. But the questions and answers are not linked.
So Chairman, what are we going to do? Are we going to link the answers then by numbers, not bullets? Instead of bullets, numbers. But how would somebody pick it up that they linked? We now discussed it, but some other people might not.
The purpose of a report of this nature, it may not be for us, per se. Other people who have this report, when they read this, they must make sense. So that's the kind of challenge that we have. And also it talks very much to the kind of style that we have in terms of our own minute writing. Whether you might wish to overhaul these are the responses for all intents and purposes from the department on the kind of questions that we have been raising.
Chairperson, I just want to know on the style that we have, when we have some questions in the past and they answer us, normally they take notes and they answer. But some of them, we ask a question and they might not understand it fully and they give a certain answer, but at least if you have it numbered, 1, 2, 3, on the questions or the concerns, and there's a numbering of answers, then we can tie it up and you can see. But if we have bullets, it's actually quite impossible to ascertain which is which. I mean, if it's a clear answer and a clear question, if you say, how many times did the minister travel? And you get an answer on a bullet, she traveled 15 times. Then it's easy to link. But questions of this, the question I'm saying is now too late, but in future, shouldn't we ask the record keepers and the department to keep to a numbering system, perhaps? That would be much
clearer. Makes sense. It makes sense. For instance, if you have heard here members' comments, say, for instance, on page 8, yeah. Members' comments and clarifying questions, 2.1. And then you have there A, B, C, and so on and so forth. And then corresponding to that, when they respond, on 2.1.A, there was this response, and the rest flowed out of that. It makes sense, so that we are also able to keep check on some of the issues.
If we want such a system to work, and what would have to happen is that the presiding officer would have to say that fine, question number one, and tell the department that you note this down and this is question number one and we want the response to question number one. Number two, this is number two. That'll have to come from you. Otherwise, the system will not work, Chair. I think what is happening here is that we ask a whole lot of questions. And then these guys come along and they don't do it in sequence, they don't do it in order. You know, you remember many times what happened is, for example, if the DG is there, he will then get another official after he has responded what he knows about the questions that's relevant to him. So that we'll have to do that, Chair, otherwise it's not going to work.
Okay, I think the point is noted going forward. Maybe just also by way of a follow-up on the map, the ecological map. We were promised that Atlas has been circulated, remember? Did we all receive it?
Bullet, are you referring to now?
No, I'm talking about the agroecological map.
maybe I'm confusing with that. Page 11. The sentence that starts with members also felt.
Yeah. Members should be put in place to categorize the soil type. But now in page 10, bullet 5, where it's speaking about the department felt that an agroecological map be made available to communities to enable them to know what they should plant and when. That doesn't answer that question, that concern of the member.
I think just for clarity, I think what is referred to here is the department, and there is on the internet also under ages information on the whole country as to soil types, climate situations, temperature, rainfall, and all those issues that determines what type of farming activity can be done. So what you're calling a cadastral map, eco-cadastral map. There is such information. Information exists, and I think that is what they're saying on their answer. That it does exist, but I mean to compile a map for the whole country, if it's not done on a very very large scale. In other words, you will have to go down very into small areas if you want to know exactly what is on a farm. Which is an area of 100 or 1,000 hectares, then you can, if you want those information, you can go onto the internet and you can go and zoom in exactly on that farm. You can get all that information from the information that is collected by the department. Because early in the 1980s, they did this survey. The survey was done to map it, to get soil types classified and to have ecological systems classified, so that it can serve as a guide for people who want to come and farm in a certain area.
Mr. Keller?
No. Luckily, I asked this question. I remember it. I think my concern in that question, if you remember very well, is I said that some projects that are financed by the department fail because the soil is not right for that type of project, what or crop that is going to be. I made an example of a project in Eastern Cape where bananas were planted and it failed. So I said they must advise before they go in there, extension officers must first test what type is the soil suitable for which for the type of crop they want to plant. So that is the question. And it is about the failure of projects that are done by department and the government losing money.
Bring me to another issue that I wanted to talk about, the town goals. I was raising this question, you know, with somebody in the department, trying to get a sense as to an understanding. Whether as a department, do they know in the country here as to where can you get crops
asking that question. If he can tell me, in fact, it was a she, as to what crops do grow best in the Western Cape. And the response I got from this one department official. To a point where, for me, it tells a story. What we might also, as part of our own oversight responsibility, you know, and this could be one way of trying to really get, you know, government into that mode, so that they get a sense of knowing if there are any top five crops in any one province. Without scratching your head, it should be possible, even for us here, to say for these top five, you get them in Mpumalanga. Yes, they may grow other crops. In Limpopo, this top five, you can say whatever, but Limpopo is tops when it comes to this five. Yes, they are growing elsewhere in the country. So that we are able as well, even to engage even the municipalities with their own piece of land that they have, suddenly that they are literally, you know, selling often to people for development. Very, very, big arable pieces of land. But that's something that I would say, you know, we might wish to look into as time goes, having to engage the department. Now, for me, that really talks strategic, you know, planning, if you like, on the part of any crop production that we might wish to talk about. But this is not here. It is just something that I thought I might just wish to raise to members here.
We must just be very careful how we word it, because if we make a recommendation, if we ask the department to make a recommendation on what is the best suitable to an area, that is fine. But if we, once we start getting prescriptive, it means that if somebody puts their own capital in and they make a disaster of it, you know, so we're not moving that way, aren't we?
Yeah, I think this is an important one that you're raising. My observation, and we've done oversight now, but I've known about it before, is that I think the department always, not always themselves, know where to get the information. Unfortunately, I think it's the situation that the extension officers or the people that are in charge have not got that experience. I'll tell you, like for instance, give you an example. We've been on oversight in my province this last week or previous week. And in the Underberg area, that's below the Nelspruit area, the department has got this tractor initiative. And they use those tractors to plow and plant dry beans in an area which dry beans don't grow. And that is on their advice. I can't understand how extension people, with all the information that they got on climate, on temperature, on rainfall, on everything else, can go and have a dry bean project without irrigation in that area. Apparently, it came to nothing. I mean, they spent all that money on it, all the tractors, all the input supplies, and there was just hardly a crop left from that whole project. Because of the fact that they've implemented the wrong. What do you call it? The crop for that specific area.
Yesterday, I was in my own ward with the department, having invited them to as part of the poverty alleviation program to assist communities in an urban setting. Grow food gardens. So they came, and also there was a few schools, I think four schools, and a clinic and a church. So it was quite a biggish function. This very issue arises so that you don't have in those backyards in the townships people. people who have land, whilst they could have been getting, you know, like peas or cabbage, spinach, and the other one was carrot, and beetroot as well. But those pieces of land would not grow. So they did manage to bring a few of those soil, you know, engineers, if you like. This is also something that I thought, you know, I was actually talking to the DG yesterday, saying this should be extended to all other members here. We start here. In your own respective constituency areas. Identified there were 60 beneficiary households that you know, were handed in those, different from your food parcels, if you like. You engage communities to be the ones that really look after their own, because there's unemployment, price of food, you know, they keep rising. So issue of accessibility and affordability, they're really key. So they are going to be coming to all of us, you know, requesting such information, you know, about beneficiaries and all of those. And they physically are going to be, you know, coming to our own respective constituency areas. So that is something that is underway, so that we only don't just talk and advise communities where we come from. We also give them something that will help them going forward in sustaining their own livelihoods. Okay, I'm aware we digressed a bit. We were on page 8 and page 10. Mama, you raised some issues relating to, now it was page
8 and 10.
Yeah, 8 and 10. And 10, yeah. I guess the question there, Mama, was more about the correlation between the two. Members. I think the first one was more about members' comments. The other one was the department responding. You want to quickly... Did you get the point, Mama? So it's us who were raising the issues, and then the department was responding on the same matter. Once again, raising a very important point raised by Mr. Toy that says, if you had question 8 from the members, department responding to question 8, then we're getting somewhere. Now, we're not sure as to how, you know, this relates with each other. Okay, we're now page 11, sorry.
The third bullet refers actually to the Agri-Bee charter. It's not clear if it does put the Agri-Bee in somewhere. Members of the department has been asked by the Agri-Bee committee.
Point noted. Section 12 of what?
Yeah, actually, Chair, if I read further, it doesn't really make sense, because everybody complies to Section 12. I mean, that is the Section 12 Agri-Bee Charter is based at the moment on the Section 12 Charter, but it must be moved from the Section 12 Charter to the Section 9 code of compliance. Yeah, that is actually what is meant here with this whole.
Did you get that one, members? For it to be given meaning, it's Agri-Bee Charter on the BBBEE code, Section 12.
agreed upon by the role players in the sector, and then they must, in the same format as the generic code. So I can't see how they can see that they say that they're already complying to the Section 9 code, because this is, otherwise you must say that Section 12 is not a code.
They were supposed to come back to us and give us an update on that one, because there were indications that they have made some move on this particular issue. You know, Section 12 migration from Section 12 to Section 9. That of course be one of those outstanding issues to be also factored into our own program. That's a matter not expected to be. We need to get it as a response from the department per se. We have powers here to call on that agri-digital council to come before us and update us or brief us on this matter. So that's a matter for our own program. Are we fine with that? Section, page 11, page 12.
Paragraph just before the last one, the last line. They have just recruited Dr. Michael Alibach, an expert in agricultural economy, to help the department with their work on holders. I take it that they mean small holders. Otherwise, you know, a holder can be anything. I can be holding a candle.
It's page 12, huh?
Yes, sir. The paragraph just above the last one, the last line.
Oh, yeah. They're just recruited to tell ever an expert in agricultural economy to help with our work on smallholding farming.
Smallholder.
Paragraph 2, the second sentence, two colleges in brackets GADI, G-A-D-I. To me, I suppose it means Grootfontein Agricultural Development Institute, I don't know. If we could just perhaps put that one in full. And Elsenburg should be Elsenburg, E-L-S-E-M. Because, you know, in Gauteng there is a little town called Elsberg without the E. So you can mix that one up. That should have an N in. That's what I think it is.
Okay.
But we'll just be very sure. We may carry on, Chair.
Small hold of Tamil. There's a very important point raised there on top. On page 15.
Okay.
15. Flowing from page 12, the very last sentence there, the department gave the committee an assurance that all work undertaken in different negotiations, multilaterally and bilaterally, include the increase of possible market access to processed products. The issue for me, the members, is that
we need the department to approve the committee on a number of these bilateral and multilateral agreements that the government has entered into with a number of countries and institutions. So that you get a sense of the kind of relationships. At the center of it all are those points raised there. The increase of possible market access for our own products, whether processed or otherwise. Those relations, or rather, agreements, they talk trade, for all intents and purposes. So those are the kind of trade agreements. But that's now something that is for future. Any further issues, members, on page 13? Page 14?
Another one that we must flag here, right at the top. There's nothing wrong with what is here, but what is wrong to me is that the figures that they have given us are highly questionable. That first paragraph, 147 commercial farmers adopted on so many hectares, blah, 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 that we need to flag. As what we need to follow up with them, Chair.
Food for thought for us going forward. Any further issues still on page 14? Now, these are members' comments and concerns on the third quarter settlement report.
Again, Chair, we need to flag some of these because I don't know whether they have made available the information that they promised to. So we must flag this, Chair. Perhaps, Chair, at the end of the adoption of all the minutes, if we still have time, then we could just raise a couple of issues that we need to add on to that flagging list.
They range from poaching and the readiness of the police and Mafisa and CAS and their location geographically in terms of the assistance given. And of course also the trade issues emerge once again. And
Chair, I think I must just make or draw your attention that they've given us a document, I think this last week or previous week, where they have addressed some of these questions in the department. Outstanding issues, I think it was called, by the department, and they compiled a document for us. For instance, I just see on the tractor story, they've given us the information on where the tractors are, how many were bought, and so on. So some of them were addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we will have that as a back of our minds as we go forward. Page 7.
Brothers passed on and condolences were sent to the family.
Much better.
Chair, this is for claiming. I think we need to address it.
This is also for flagging, but you know, on page 3, bullet number 8, was there research done to determine whether the community-based approach of right allocation was a solution to the problem? Here on page 4, the department says, in response, those were members' concerns. The department will continue educating the community on community ownership. And let's face it, Chair, this business of communal ownership is a failure. It's not working. And they want to continually, that is their response. They've done no research. They cannot base it on any empirical evidence. So what I'm saying, Chair, is something to be flagged, because we need to address this. We've had enough failures, we can't afford more.
I'm only asking for flagging, Chair. So, no discussion. We can talk if we have time.
Next year, we will be confronted, among others, with a flood of inquiries.
and then on 15th of February, take one. We certainly need to get an update on this one, both on the norms and standards and also on the processes of dealing with the pressure, if you like, from the renting community in South Africa. They have been writing and talking and negotiating with Department of Agriculture, for instance, about being incorporated there. We did take a session with them, and feel quite strong that they belong in the agriculture sector. They are into farming, basically game farming. That's what they tell themselves. So we really need to get an urgent update on this particular one, and then of course also with the North standards that have been we discussed.
it says there should be a limit to the availability of jackals by killing them or otherwise. Maybe if we can rephrase it a little bit, I think we must maybe say that there should be emphasis on the management of the availability of jackals. By using methods and equipment that is approved to control them. I'm just trying to think aloud because what I'm trying to just get is that we know that we've had been running from this meeting. There were a lot of discussions and allegations in the press. And the green people attacked myself and Dietlis and other people continuously afterwards on the methods used by controlling the damage-causing animals. So what I want to just say is that we must just maybe phrase it in that way.
Yeah. Chairperson, I'm also not certain what that sentence means, what you tried to convey. Because I can't remember what the member said at that point about that sentence.
If you had to read bullet point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 from the top, it was contradictory. It was regarded as barbaric and cruel to kill these kinds of predators. And also linking that with that they should be available by killing them. So the writer really likes killing.
I remember I said it about the barbaric. I mentioned that I think it had to do with the dogs. Because people say, look, killing these animals with dogs are one of the most effective ways to do it, but it's also barbaric. But it's exactly the same way in which a jackal kills. By tearing him apart with the teeth. So I don't know whether it's barbaric, because barbaric refers to humans, but it's the same method that the jackal is using on the sheep, or the dog is using on a jackal. I think that's what I said there. So why would we say it's cruel? Because it does the same.
How do we deal with that sentence there?
If I can just say again, I say that there should be a manageable availability of jackals by using methods and equipment to control them. That sounds better.
The postman is being soft there. Are we fine with that sentence? Rephrase sentence? Okay, can we I think that whole issue on predators still needs to be followed up on. It is a matter that is still outstanding for us to finalize. And then, of course, also this other matter I was raising about the ranging community.
My only concern was at that point then was there seemed to have been a program running from environmental affairs to bring in regulations, remember. And our concern at that point was that those things will be implemented. I think it was the farmers also. They were concerned that will run its course and those will be implemented before we could express ourselves or have a say on it. So I'm just a bit worried here that we're missing a boat here. So shouldn't we catch on? How far is it like the last straw for the small you know, small stock farmers.
Just to add on to this, I think it is taken up in under recommendations 0.4. The first bullet there says that the hearings on the norms and standards should be held and different stakeholders should be involved. Now, what we should follow up on that is was those hearings held? Where are the reports? And we have not really been informed, as my colleague is saying.
And also a point being raised there about other provinces that could be directly affected. So it's quite an urgent matter. Yeah. These are our own recommendations. So it means we must prioritize this. That's what I'm saying. Sorry? A proposal for adoption, any second? And that was it.
Second.
The 17th of March. Is this guests or is this officials in attendance? Officials here could also be officials from Parliament. What is the correct one? Do you specify which official? DAF officials or DA officials or Parliament officials? Do you specify along those lines? Eh? So that there's no confusion. Page 2, sorry. That is a foolish.
Sometimes we find that when the meeting starts, I am being guided by a written apology or an email or something. So when I have the record, like now, if I'm going to put Mr. Gila and Mr. Gregory, it might come back from the office of the speaker to say, where is a written apology? That is why when I write the minutes, we find that other apologies are not there.
Can we follow that up with a committee coordinator? Because according to myself, there is an apology email to you. But let me follow that up with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Page 2 of the minutes of the 17th of March, the year was 2011. The agenda was about the Office of the Auditor General, the opinion and operations, finances of the department and its entities. Anytime.
Chairperson, on page 1, we have here attendees, or as you are at least saying from where they are. Manager, Office of the, Mr. Yusuf, Senior Manager, Co-AG. Now, you know, Yusuf is a Christian name. There can be many Yusufs. Try and get this gentleman's surname so that we can have a proper record.
Page 3.
clarified? Follow-ups on page 5, section 4 there, the issues that the members raised, and those issues they run up until page 6, and obviously there has to be follow-ups on the number of those when we deal with matters of selling issues or matters. Also have to take care of those. Anything on page 6?
So are we flagging them, Chair?
Yeah.
I see on page 6 a spelling mistake. The first, after the Buddhist, the first paragraph, the third sentence, the very last word, it means the Marine Resources Fund has been with DUF since, not wind, since, I suppose.
Which part was that?
Just after DUF, D-A-F-F.
Oh.
Third line, since.
We really need to get a presentation on that Maputo Declaration. We really need to have one understanding going forward on that Maputo Declaration and its expectations. Yes, the declaration is there. Stipulates almost everything, 10% of any national budget must go to agriculture and so on by 2008. And 2008 came and gone. Granted, we have a different economy compared to other economies elsewhere in Africa. We are a signatory to that Maputo Declaration. And that signature did not put any addenda there that says subject to the types of economies elsewhere in the continent. It's a signature that binds us to that commitment of the 10% of. I think we really need to take a discussion of that one, in my view. You know, have somebody, you know, either from Planning Commission or
if I can help you on it, I think you're quite right. I think we are a signatory to that cause. Obviously, as you say, our economy differs vastly, and we're not a third world developing country sort of, where agriculture plays the major role in the development of that country. We've passed that phase. We're over actually in an industrial situation at the moment already. But we should get clarity, and I think what you are saying is that let's have a discussion with the Department of Finance as well as the Planning Commission so that we can clear it. If they say, well, let's recall the agreement on the Maputo Declaration, then they must give us guidance on it. What is the target and where are we going to with agriculture as far as budgets are concerned? Because as I already said many times in my budget speech as well, that we are totally underfunded in the agricultural sector. We cannot carry on and think that we will achieve and maintain food security in South Africa if we do not have a longer-term strategy with the financial support from government.
Mr. Kidd?
Yeah, page 6, the second last paragraph, can't we rephrase that? There were times when the two departments would not see eye to eye, especially on budget issues, but did not help their relationship. Why don't we say the department, there were times when the department would not agree on budget issues. However, this did not help the relationship. Just a rephrasing it.
Together. Are we fine, members? Once again, that meeting was about the poultry brine injection. I'm getting this only now, but the point I'm raising is that there are a number of these boards, whether you call them councils or whatever name, but we engage our own resource here in Parliament. That basically seeks to take a proactive, you know, approach on our part as committee and give, you know, we have these views as part of the brief, among others. You know, we play a role that is meaningful towards the appointment of the boards and issues of accountability, you know, being taken care of, and so on and so forth. Of course, in terms of reference, must be clearly specified when we approach that parliamentary legal, you know, team. I'm putting it to the committee so that we don't deal with these issues in piecemeal.
Yeah, I think one can maybe just, yeah, I agree with you fully. That's why I brought it up. All the other committees, most of the other boards, are they have a role to play. Say, for instance, the SABC board. I mean, we know that it's been discussed within the committee, and many times they agree on where the members should be. But I think in our case, this is absolutely not satisfactory that we have no role to play. We've got an oversight role to play, and we need to see that we get competent people in place on those boards. Otherwise, you know, we're really not doing ourselves a favor and the industry a favor. So I would like to suggest and support you that we discuss it within the minister, as well as in the broader sense in Parliament, maybe with the chairperson. On what legislation already appears in other committees to make them to get that power, so that we can include it in our legislation that deals with boards and that type of stuff. Thanks, Jeff.
We do possess the right, without consulting the executive, to initiate legislation ourselves as a committee. But I'm saying that we put together terms of reference and approach the parliamentary legal team that we have these, and then the department receives those proposals from ourselves through that parliamentary legal team with its own legal jargon, you know, that it puts together. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Are we fine with that? Okay, so that we don't deal, as I said, you know, with these issues piecemeal. So we are on the 22nd of March. The point has been taken note of the first paragraph in the light, you know, so we've just concluded.
We have a page 3 because it jumps from 2 to 4. I don't know if the numbering is wrong or if we just didn't get
the page. Both of you don't have page 3.
I also don't have page 3.
I don't know. You also don't have one? Can we also get a sense of who else does not have page 3? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 22nd of March.
We didn't make a
question on page 4 while we wait under resolution. DAF should make available the report on the make available the report. Not should. Should is a gray area. It doesn't sort of compel them to do so. Perhaps the word must might be too strong, but as long as we say that make available the report.
Fine with that?
Yes.
So, page 3? Did we all get page 3? You don't have it yet. He doesn't like you. On page 2, the meta, the second paragraph on top, relates to a member who consistently apologized and never having to attend any of our meetings. Procedure would then have to be thought as to how do we deal with that matter. The instance here we have is that of Mrs. Digitello from UCDP, who is never part of our meeting. In fact, she has never even attended anyone. Once again, we would really request the company secretary to come back to us about that one. She did.
I inquired Chairperson and I was told that the whip of the committee would have to follow it up with the chief whip of the party. Can I give it? UCDP, yes.
Is that not a one person?
Two.
There are two.
Yes.
Oh. So. Mama Twana, you have such a responsibility.
Chairperson, I think the ruling party and the opposition, us, is in a fortunate position that we have part of the critical mass, so we can have somebody on each committee. But very, very small parties have a real problem. I think maybe we should be thankful. They can't be everywhere.
I guess the issue more than anything else, that being understood, we just want clarity so that there is an understanding as to how you you deal with issues of that nature, so that you don't have on your record, you know, from day one, apologies, but till, you know, day end. And obviously that can say something about either that person or the committee itself. And generally asking a direct question, very pointed question to the rules. What do rules say about a situation of that nature? There must be an answer.
Jefferson, I take it that that honorable member does not need any food, you know, can live on fresh air.
Page 4, page 5.
There are those recommendations there. Already a point has been made about, you know, the department having to bring to the committee those reports. Yeah, you have. We have already flagged. Page 5. Adoption moved by Dr. Bosman. Seconded by Mr. Gaylor. NIMC and first plan report, and then subsequently Land Bank Board. Page 1. 12. Yeah. Yeah. 12 April. Did I say March? 12 April, sorry. No comments on page 1. Page 2. NAPU, budget vote report, MC, and Land Bank Board.
Once we're talking of Land Bank nominations, I don't know what happened, who has been appointed. Nice to know who their new directors are, but at the same time, Chair, there's been a lot of things happening at the Land Bank regarding the change in policy. There's, I believe, R1 billion available for upcoming farmers and that sort of thing. We have not had an interaction with the Land Bank in a long time, unless if something happened when I wasn't around. But we need to have the Land Bank before us. So I think we should flag that one, Chair, because, I mean, it operates in an agricultural environment. Although its responsibility in terms of its governance rests with the Treasury, there should be interaction between them and us so that we are on board. There's been talk all these years from the department, even when it used to be the Department of Agriculture and Land Affairs, about a one-stop shop in terms of funding. That one-stop shop has never seen the light of day. They talk and talk and talk and nothing happens. So we would like to know this new move by the Land Bank, whether that is in any way going to assist the people. Because I have grave misgivings about the way they're going about it. Without the adequate help in terms of technical expertise for those people, you can give them as much money as you like. We've seen it on our oversight visits. It's not going to help. So we need to interact with them, Chair. Can we flag that, please?
I also just, you know, last Friday.
Excuse me.
I read somewhere that the Minister of Finance
made available R1 billion.
There was the annual report, annual results.
Yeah, annual of the Land Bank that they made
annual
available.
Annual results were announced. We did not receive the, we had planned are competing issues. We could not, at the time we wanted to have, and again also the other issue was about having to have a joint, because they are a finance committee. But we do possess a right once again, that as the committee we bring them to the committee here. And then it would just be a courtesy on the part of finance, you know, that by way of writing a letter. I take your point, we should also prepare a letter that goes to the Minister of Finance about the final, you know, outcome of a process of the appointment of the board. A letter that is written to the Finance Minister and also to the Speaker. I think there must be that letter that is written both to the Speaker and copied to the Finance Minister. I think that's the appropriate thing to do.
See whether the Secretariat can also obtain for us their financial reports, their annual report and that sort of stuff. I haven't seen something so far.
Well, the annual results were announced last week. So imagine the process of tabling them, because in October, all these annual reports are supposed to come before us. Any mover for adoption? Kayla, Abram. 12th of April, 14th of April. It was the consideration and adoption of the strategic plan and budget report. Very straightforward, all in preparation for the budget debate.
Here again, in your opening remarks, you referred to the forensic investigation audit report on the net accounts. We must flag that we've seen one.
I guess they seem to be ready. That's what the committee secretariat. The matter has to do more with the availability, with the applications with the house chair, who had an issue about our own program and the timing. Okay, so they are available with that. That's what the department. So the report, I mean, the minutes have been adopted accordingly. Oh, yeah, sorry, we haven't adopted. Sorry. Yeah.
It says there that the committee noted that it's a disapproval of the strategic plan of NEHA. Should not be reflected in the report as it would affect the passing of the budget of NEHA Farms. When we listened and had the presentation from NEHA Farms on their budget, not on their budget, on their financial statement, we asked them to bring us a budget before we're going to approve it. And I cannot recall that they brought it, because we disapproved of it. Just my question, have they ever brought us a budget that was approved by ourselves so that it can be included in the other major budget of the department?
After we completed the strategic planning budget of the department and other entities, the committee requested the department to come back and give us the financials and the overall report with regard to NEHA Farms. We applied to the House Chairperson that application. In fact, the department indicated that they were ready to come and give us that report, but the House Chairperson did not approve that. So
So I guess now the process would be now to call them back and say that one present that report. I'm not sure what is contained in that report.
Well, I'm asking this question is because we did not approve their budget for the following year, pending our insight into that budget. Now it says here in this document that our disapproval must not be noted or reflected in this report, as it would affect the passing of their budget. Now it looks to me as their budget has been already passed, even though our request has been overlooked.
If I recall very well, you were not in the meeting. Well, the issue was about whether, because the matter had to do with NAHA's budget, the transfer issue out of the total budget of the department. So with the appropriation committee consultation, if you were then not to be adopting one portion of a total budget of a department, it therefore impacts on the entirety of that budget, of that particular department. We subsequently resolved that notwithstanding all of that, with all those challenges, let us continue and adopt the budget, but prioritize fixing the challenges that are there. Among others, having to receive that forensic investigation report, among others also looking into this very issue of the budget itself. Because the matter that we really raised there had so much to do with the fact that it felt as if they were literally thinking on their feet coming to us. As a result, we then had to reject that because, again, apart from thinking on their feet, you also do not have recommendations of that forensic investigation report. It's as if that's what they were presenting is just out of space, not informed by anything, not even being privy ourselves to that type of report. So those are the kinds of challenges that we're confronted with. But what I propose we do is that we bring them here as a matter of urgency. Talk to that forensic investigation report, and also talk to the actual itself, the actual budget that they're supposed to be presenting to us. I don't know now, as we speak, as what is going on in that institution. And I was also informed that in Mpumalanga, one of those fellows who was working there, I think he's in the culture department somewhere in Mpumalanga. I was informed, I think, by one of our members here. So that's what I would propose you do on NAHA going forward, having to prioritize that, Mr.
Yes, that's what to differ from you on the conclusion. I just want to know, where does this put us now as the paragraph stands here, because I can remember one of the members specifically said that, that we can't approve their budget unless they bring us a way to deal with it. So then they came up with this thinking on their feet. But this means that I was under the impression then that unless they give us a workable plan, they won't have a budget. They won't have a budget. That was my impression then. So does this now mean Does that mean they have a budget now? Because it's been in the budget.
And I also remember us saying they must now, so the DG was asking a question, frustrated as he was, that, you know, what must then be the way forward? And on a matter that he has a full responsibility on and expected to be an accounting officer over, asking a question as to the way forward from us as the committee. We then responded by way of saying we must work and operate on a month-to-month basis so that there is no finality as to the overall picture and the direction in which they wanted to take. Maybe let's have all of those issues. And then,
so let me propose, Chair, that we accept, because obviously it's water that's already gone down. Ask them as soon as possible that let us, you know, not wait until the next budget is due, but let them come back, because I remember clearly, and Honourable Sivakula was also complaining about that. He came up with a new plan, a business plan, to say that they want to now train people there, that they want to use the budget for that, because the whole of the agricultural side of it, the farming side of it, has collapsed. People have moved onto the land and they have not, they're not doing anything at it. So, but let's get them back to inform us about their business plan, and so that we can take action as soon as possible.
I'm torn between asking for a short one, or I ask Mamatwala to just for a quick one once I go and come back. 5 minutes?
Okay.
We take 5 minutes or we just continue? We finish?
We just take 5 minutes.
Can you do that? 5 minutes, thanks.
Thank you. Lord Mountain Song Walker Bar. Especially phone is about Bambi's cell phone. Because it's easier to track a cell phone. If they sell them to other people, those people will tell them, I bought it from so and so. Abantu bayazana kuma rural areas, they're cool. Yeah, and those foreign guys, if they buy cell phones, they easily send them to their families in Malawi to sell them over there. Committees are poor, man.
Poor?
The committees are standing up at it. Can I? A recession.
April minutes. I don't know if anybody has any issue, save for all those other issues that we discussed, anybody would wish to raise or rather adopt or move for adoption. It's only one, 2 pages. Mr. Dutoy has moved. I would on this note request that we don't deal with these issues as of now. Looking at the time, 22nd of June, 21st and 22nd of June. Agenda item being?
So I'll just have to go back and fix and then... we'll address it in the next meeting.
Are we fine with that, members? There is confusion on this particular one. Can we come back to... Okay. Can we quickly rush off to the draft program? Against all what we've also been talking about, we also have here...
Well,
which then means that we might have to reprioritize. Is that what we are saying?
Well, I would like to suggest, and that is why I'm asking before you leave, can't we bring the department, when they come here next week on transport, also give us feedback on the avian flu and the foot and mouth disease status, the current status at the moment? And what are they doing to get our export and or are you satisfied that they've done enough to get back our status back?
You see, Chairperson, what bothers me about the department is they don't follow good management principles. You have a system called management by inspection, management by exception. And they don't do it. These things like the floods, foot and mouth, and avian flu is by exception. It's not something that's a running of the mill. It's by exception. So in other words, they must inspect the exception. And they must come back and they must be on top of that. They must have a task team that's working on that full time. And they must be able, something that they find out last week, they should be able to report to us this week. And it is a serious concern in agriculture. There is no way this country can go forward if they cannot even handle these three things. For instance, if you look through these notes, we've asked about what is the situation about the foot and mouth defense. They said, no, it didn't go through the fence, it came around another way and so forth. But they made a statement, and they didn't think about the consequence of that statement. I mentioned it in another forum. Now, these are things that they should be on top of, really. And I would also, if they come with a transport and transmit infrastructure and agricultural products, clearly, you know, if you took a millicop, there's 500 pips in it. See, if you take one and plant one, you've got to take 500 back. You need infrastructure. But now, they can't do this. They can't tell us about transport and the problems if they don't include toll gates. The toll gates are a big issue. I mean, the Western Cape has declared a dispute with Sunrail. Thanks. And in the northern provinces, there's also a lot of unhappiness about it. So if they leave this out, if they leave Sunrail and the toll gates out, it's no use. It's not even a start. So these are issues now very important to people on the ground, our constituents. So on the avian flu, foot and mouth, and the other things, they must be able to tell us there's nothing down on the wires, even if it didn't. The disease didn't spread through the fences that's been down. Next time it can be much bigger. You see, so they must be on top of this. They are not doing their jobs, and if we don't force them, Chairperson, then they're just going to cruise along. And every
at times,
month
at times members, we really don't have to ask the department. At times we have to make our own arrangement, which is what I was trying to do when I got to talk to Mr. Muller, Johan Muller, who raised very, very similar concerns. Now, I tried to get Parliament to agree to us, that was in April, for an oversight visit there in the northern part of KZN, where the problem. But of course also there was another big issue between KZN and DAF. KZN almost seriously being gatekeeper. Say, yeah, but this is our jurisdiction at KZN. We know what we're doing here. We are in control. But on the other hand, DAF was saying, yeah, but there are problems. Also, the fence has fallen off, and so on and so forth. But it is also incumbent on us to factor in into our program as we talk about oversight, because this is a matter that is quite serious. we go over there and see what is going on and talk to the farmers out there. And then also talk, obviously, to the communities out there. So we have a responsibility ourselves, rather than having to say to the department they must give us information. We also have a responsibility of going out there and get that information ourselves. And when we do that, we also are forcing the department to come with us. And they will also be expected to say something, because we shall be talking directly to the people who are directly affected about these issues.
I think you're absolutely right to do that. But I don't want to waste your time. That's why I want to try and finish it so you can go. You know, the Red Meat Industry Forum on the 13th of September, they cannot get access to the department. They can't get an appointment, and they are actually, all these issues that I've now raised, the two, avian flu and food and mouth, they are representing the farmers on the ground with these, facing these problems. And I'm quite sure the reason why they approach us is to say, well, we cannot get the hold of the department, we cannot get answers, we get no feedback. So I can propose that we move the food and mouth and the avian flu to be included in that discussion, because that is what they are actually going to discuss on top of the legislation that is necessary to control the environment for them.
Can I say you are in capable hands of Mrs. Twana?
I had Do we invite Samuel as well?
No, I think what we need to know is if you are inviting Sandra, then you're going to get another how good it is to have tollgates talk. We're not interested in that. All we need to know is from agricultural point of view is what is the likely impact of the tollgates and the toll fees on agriculture. They could just be able to answer questions on that and give us something, ideas of the number of agricultural products that's being moved through and that type of thing, you know.
Remember, having cleared that.
Madam the Chair, when you deal with them, there's proposed toll gates in the Western Cape also, which cuts off all the fruit from the harbour. You see? So all the fruit has got to go through the toll gates to the harbour. So that's a major thing. So it's not only where the toll gates now, but where the proposed are. They know where it is. So they must know somewhere the volume that's being moved. Thanks.
Sorry,
I think what is also important is that it is not only SANRAL and the Department of Transport that should be telling us, because they will come along here and give you a rosy picture as to the cost implications and things like that for agriculture. I feel, Chairperson, that we should request the Department of Agriculture as well to tell us whether they've done a study as to the impact of toll road fees on agriculture and the price of food as we go along. Because toll fees, Chairperson, for a while, in order to appease the public, they may be lowered. But then eventually you will see an annual increase or even a faster increase. So we need to get the department's view also on what is happening. And Chairperson, with regard to this whole issue of the impact of diseases on not only on animal production in the country, but I think it even goes wider. And what we need to find out, Chairperson, from the department is what sort of measures or what sort of monitoring mechanisms have they got in place, and this must be an item, to detect possible problems. You have the ARC, you have this organization, that organization. What are they doing to sort of forecast possible problems? Climatic conditions can bring certain problems. And we need to know that. Before I conclude, Chairperson, it has been said the other day that at the moment, if you have sheep, you become an overnight millionaire, depending on the numbers that you have. Because you will be paying 150 rand a kilo for mutton one of these fine days. That day is dawning. And there are reasons. The Rift Valley fever outbreak had an impact. Predators have an impact. And then the human predator, those that steal, has an impact. So these are the sort of issues, Chairperson, that these people must come and address with us. And in conclusion, Chair, Mr. Bosman said that there are certain organizations that have been trying to beat the department and they just cannot get to the department. And I want it to be recorded that I had a request from a community in Pongola which had restituted land. And they had to write to the president to try and get somebody to listen to them. Eventually, Mr. Andile Hoss, who many of you know, went up there, made them all sorts of promises, and nothing happened. They wrote me a letter. I took that letter which they sent me, and I enclosed my note with it to the DG,
email as well as to his office here at 120 Plain Street, requesting him to please see what response can they give to this community. Up till today, I haven't received an acknowledgement. I have not received any response, nothing whatsoever. Now, if MPs are treated with disdain, then I shudder to think what happens to the ordinary people on the ground. And this week's Landbou Weekblad, that is a cover date of this Friday, there is a report that AFASA, the new breakaway African Farmers Association of South Africa, had requested to meet the minister. And they have failed to get a meeting. And they have now written to the president calling for the removal of the minister. And the minister is not interested in meeting the people that she should be meeting under her portfolio. And I personally have over the last 2.5 years requested 3 different meetings for 3 important agricultural institutions that never came. Not even a response, not even an acknowledgement. Now, if this is the manner in which we are treated as MPs, then I wonder how the poor people on the ground and organizations on the ground are being treated. And I'm making the statement, Chairperson, so that the Secretary must please note it, that we need to have answers from this department, whether they are there to service the agricultural fraternity or whether they are there to move around in expensive motor cars and be the DGs and the ministers, and the people on the ground can go to hell. Thank you very much, Chair.
An issue which is also not included in this agenda. We've spent 3 weeks on oversight. 3 weeks. We've seen so much, I don't know what to say, failures, money spent irresponsibly. And when are we going to discuss it? And when are we going to get the information and the reports back on that? I think it's much more important than to go for a week to people's assembly. I don't know really what it is about, but I think we need to get to the issues which we want to address. So much. I really would like to just ask you to let us include it and make work of it, because I mean there are people on the ground that need assistance from the department and from extension offices and from people to help them to farm. But they spend billions of rand and they can show nothing for it. Nothing for it. We must really try and focus on it so that we can at least do something for our people in South Africa.
I need to say that we have a joint committee that went out on oversight. We haven't met again as joint committees to have our report. We did a visit in February. Nothing happened thereafter. We did a visit now 2-3 weeks ago. Nothing has happened so far. We need to have a joint report because it was a joint committee. So we don't prepare a report from agriculture which differs from what they are saying. So we need to do that post haste.
Responding on the report for the four weeks. Yes. The report is being done jointly, as it was, the visit was jointly done. What was happening is that, seeing that agriculture, we haven't been meeting much. I sat with the Committee Secretary of Rural Development and Land Reform to request if we cannot utilize their day, which is Wednesday, so that we can do it jointly. Otherwise, if we could have taken Tuesday, it means now this term maybe we're going to just deal with agricultural issues, I mean, 2 or 3 meetings only. So they have already put it on their program. I just have to inquire as to which day is that. The program, the report has been drafted I think it will be finalized this week. It has been done jointly with the Northern Cape, Limpopo, Free State, and Mpumalanga.
Chairperson, for me, we got different communities, come from different areas, and mine is a rural community. The issue of tractors, the policy of tractors, is very important that we get it. The DG promised us, from the information that I received from my province, that these tractors are given to people who are not farmers, and that is government money, and we have to give it to the right people. We went on oversight now, we saw the mess up. So that is very important. There are millions being spent on these tractors. We need to know how are they, what policy, who gets them, and how do they get them. It's very important that we get that policy checkers. Thank you.
The last issue that I would like to put on the table is the issue of climate change. From what Honourable Abrams has said, we had a climate change, a ministerial climate change conference for the agricultural sector. The minister was not there, the deputy minister was not there, the DG came and opened and left, and there was no people from the department, really. We discussed the climate change for the agricultural sector with all sorts of other role players, and they will come up with a report. In our committee, who has to deal with the agricultural sector's climate change responsibilities of mitigating and adapting and all the other issues. We have not even discussed it in our committee. And we're sitting before a COP17, which is going to be held in 2 months' time. My information from the people that arranges it, that do the arrangement, there's not even going to be place for us, for our committee members, to stay in Durban, because the people have already booked it out. We are so far behind making arrangements for our people and for our committee's members to be there, because this is our committee's responsibility to be there. But we must have a policy that we can go forward to that committee. We must get to know who's the people. I believe that the chairman is now going to a meeting. He's never discussed it with us. We never had a framework from this committee. And I really insist that we do include it in this term's program, so that we can at least have some idea what we're going to do there. And the last thing is, I would like to appeal that we find out how many of our members are going to be delegates, and that we make arrangements for them to stay, because I believe it's all booked up.
Yeah, no, I don't think at this stage you will get any accommodation. But let's get from the chairperson, because he's directly involved.
Here, I suggest that we carry on with the minister.
Yes.
The problem.
We have a forum.
The program. Yes, we are correcting. The program is in front of us. There are some amendments and input from committee members. Are we adopting this program with amendments?
No,
the minutes. Yes, because there was
the only ones that are there, so we are mixed up.
There's need to be sorted. So we are with the program. The one you have been inputting on, Honourable Member Abraham, you have been inputting on the program.
Yes.
We are dealing with the program now. Yeah. So I don't know whether there is something else, or can we just adopt it with these amendments?
We cannot really adopt it as it is, because of those important issues which I've just highlighted.
You are saying with amendments. No, not as is.
Can we just, for the sake of clarity for all of us, say that, all right, fine, Tuesday the 30th of August, what do we want to do on that day? We have that we should also have Sandra, and that the department, hey? No, but I think there was a proposal that we want Sandral there to speak on tolls.
No, honourable member, I said that if we take Sandral on route, we will just hear a nice story again. We need to know, as you said, agricultural study on the impact of toll gates on the movement of agricultural products.
Thank you for the correction, Chairperson. So what we are saying here is, in addition to this, we want the department to tell us whether they have done research on the impact of toll roads and escalating transport costs on food production and food security. If they could give us whether they've got anything, and we want the presentation, not whether they've got anything. They must give us a presentation on that day. We would like to have it from them. So in other words, Chairperson, it's not, will you please? It is a question of, we want a presentation. Because, I mean, we cannot just discuss the transportation and infrastructure for agricultural products without looking at costs. These things have cost implications. So let us do that, Chairperson. So then we've handled the 30th of August, in case any of my colleagues here have a problem, they can say so. Otherwise, we can tick that one off then, with that addition.
No, I think we have elaborated, honourable members, on the program. All your concerns have been noted here by the services, Dr. Bosman. Now, everything is noted. I think we are at a stage where we should just adopt the program with amendments.
Chairperson, we're happy that Tuesday the 6th can stay as it is, because that's also important. We have to. The fisheries.
Can I just say on the 30th, when the invitations go out, the Red Meat Industry Forum includes most of the role players in the agricultural sector. It includes NARPO, AgriSA, but what you can do is ask them if they say that the Red Meat Industry Forum, on behalf of the Red Meat Industry, is going to present. But if they want to also participate, they are welcome to send somebody else, because they've got divisions that can work with it. But then, in that, we must definitely get a feedback from the department on the status of Food and Mouth and Avian Flu as well.
Can I say something on the People's Assembly? Unfortunately, there is nothing I can do. People's Assembly is Parliament proper, and we have to abide by that. Thank you.
Just what does it entail? Because I see that the oversight is from 19 till 21, which means from a Friday until a Sunday. Which seems very odd.
It's September.
I'm sorry.
We arrive on Sunday.
I see. It's a Monday. I was on the wrong month. Sorry.
Explain again, what does entail? People's Assembly is like taking Parliament to the people. But now, this time, it's National Assembly, not the NCOP. I don't know if you were here, though. We had one in Bushbuck Ridge, we had one in Bizana. We normally have oversight, where on that oversight, each and every stakeholder is involved. At some point, I think in Bizana, some of the challenges were responded to while we were on oversight. And then there will be a General Assembly on the 22nd and 23rd. I am not sure what form it will take this year, but like I'm saying, it's Parliament proper.
So is it a joint sitting or NA?
No, it's NA only.
Oh.
Yes. I would just like to
speak about oversight now. Say that we are going to do 19 to 21, it's 3 days of oversight. I am asking, Chairperson, what is the rationale, what is the wisdom behind doing oversight? A report is prepared afterwards, albeit a long time after the oversight. That report gets pigeonholed somewhere. I have never seen a report back that, in terms of the report of the committee that or committees that did this oversight, these are the responses, these are the interventions. Like we went out, for example, all right, I couldn't be there for the second week due to ill health. But we went out to the Thabo Mafutsanyana district. We saw tremendous problems, many problems. Now, what will happen to that report? What I'm asking, Chairperson, what is the relevance of the committee in helping to influence issues so that issues are handled and dealt with differently? For example, for one example, out in Thabo Mafutsanyana, we went to that Dila Tawa, Tawa project. Diatalawa. There was a dairy project last year, 70 dairy cows, well, they didn't look like dairy cows to me when I was there last year, were bought. Of them, a good few died. That project never took off. What happened is the people, the beneficiaries, then decided, look, man, out of the whatever is left cattle, you take so many, you take so many, you take so many, and we go our own way. Now the department goes along, and they want to spend 9 million rand in putting up a complete dairy structure for this communal project. There are, I think, how many? 32 beneficiaries, you know? Yeah, there are 32 beneficiaries. When you couldn't get it working last year, how the heck are you going to get it to work now after spending 9 million rand on infrastructure? And in fact, I took it upon myself to warn them that this will be wasteful expenditure because this project will never get off the ground. Another little example, they bought those people all those red cattle, beautiful cattle, good quality cattle. Those cattle were bought as pregnant animals. They came and they calved. Those calves are already 10, 11 months old, and they haven't bought bulls in order to service those cows. And when we asked the official tells me, told us, not me, that no, we were told that you must only put the bulls in summer. In my case, what I do is within 3 months after cows have calved, I put the bulls in because I want the calf every year, not the calf every 2 years. So in short, Chairperson, what I'm saying is that these are the sort of things that are touchy. We are wasting money. We spend, I can't even remember how many million we spent on that. Then we spent, I think, about 3.9 million on planting wheat. And the income out of the wheat was 850,000. That is taking us bankrupt. Are we taking our people nowhere? Now, what I'm saying, Chairperson, we've noted all these things. Now, who is going to remedy the situation? And that is the issue. Because I've sat here for many years on this committee, agriculture. And up to now, I've never seen remedies. Thank you.
Mr. Adam, what should be the practice? Is that after the committee has done oversight, the committee will have its own recommendations. The report will be debated in the House. After the report has been debated in the House, I will tell you why I'm saying that. The Speaker will write the Minister responsible to say, Minister, respond to the recommendations done by the committee. I have seen that. I was with the Portfolio Committee on Transport. We did oversight, and Minister was requested to respond to the recommendations, and the responses came back in writing. So I'm not sure whether, after the report has been adopted, it is now the responsibility of the Office of the Speaker.
Honourable members, once again, here is the program. There are some amendments that have been put. Babu Geyla, Honourable Geyla, has moved for adoption. So what are we saying now? It is seconded.
Seconded on the basis that you get a new draft. So we can see which other items are included and how can we include it, because the report back, as we discussed, the climate change one that I've proposed, so that we can just see if it can be included in this program, please.
And unfortunately, Dr. Bosman, the weeks that we see here, it is all that we can get. Parliament is closed, is going on recess on the 23rd of September. Any other thing that the committee has to deal with, it is not next step.
Can I ask the other committee members, some of these issues it's not so urgent. I mean, they can be addressed at a later stage, maybe on the next in the next term.
Like, for instance,
well, this conference of the wine industry, I don't think all of us are going there, but I don't know if just one or two people are going there representing the committee. And then also the last one on the 4th and the 5th of October, that is not an urgent matter. We can move that so that we can get the issues that is urgent firstly on prioritized.
The program starting from the 27th to the 5th of September to the 4th of October, that will be during recess. I had put them here because they are the invitations that were put before the committee. But other than that, it is not session dates where we can say, let's take out that conference and attend to a meeting. While we are there, the invitation to a conference of the South African Wine Industry Trust, I will request members maybe to indicate who would want to come, because you will be in the provinces. The status of our committee finances right now, they are not so good. If a member would want to attend this conference here in Cape Town, you will use your own tickets, provided it is approved. You will use your own tickets. We will not be in a state to sleep at the Lord Charles Hotel. We will be ferried to the conference in the morning. In the evening, you come back. You go to the villages. Again in the morning, you are picked up to the conference. We are trying to to reduce costs because our financial status is not. Oh, I have not yet acquired the approval for both conferences.
When precisely is the break, the recess period? So it starts at 23rd and it goes until?
I think what we must then do is, if we cannot fit it in this term's program, it should be on the first opportunity in the next program, in the next term. Yeah. Climate change, as well as the other outstanding issues, I don't know, whatever it is.
Chairperson, I would like to suggest that we find time to adopt the program for the fourth quarter. And that we try and find that time within the next fortnight so that we exactly know what are we going to do in the fourth quarter, so that we are proactive in whatever we want to do. Thank you, Chair.
There are issues. The causes that were speculated These are all the outstanding issues. Even the document that Nokuzola secreted, the one that, this one. If maybe by the 13th of September, if maybe committee members would have made up their mind as to which issues should we deal with during the fourth term, I think it will make life very easy so that we can adopt this program before we go on the fair.
The second document without the parliamentary logo, I haven't seen. No, the one in your right hand.
This one.
I haven't. No, the one in your right hand.
One.
I haven't seen that.
Okay.